Welcome to Watch Time, a podcast series exploring the world of Apple Watch and how it's changing people's lives. I'm your host, Zach Hall, and this week we're joined by my 9-to-5 Mac colleague, Michael Podick. Hey, Michael, how are you today?
Awesome. How about you, Zach?
I'm not bad. I've got, in SpongeBob SquarePants parlance, what you call the suds. Which I guess is a head cold. But, you know, the show must go on, and I have a dedicated mute button, so this should be fun. But and it's actually funny. It's the first day – well, it's the second day of I'm doing half marathon training for the first time with, like, a schedule of
– Oh, yeah.
Like, I put it all on my calendar, so it'll be my 7th half marathon on April 19th. It's the Star Wars – rival run at Disney World in Florida.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I really want to do well at that, and like, you know, have a better time than I've ever had before. And so I'm training this time, and usually I just kind of just like run sporadically and don't do a program. But I'm just using like the Runner's World beginners half marathon training, even though it's number 7. It's like it's the first time I've trained, so I'll do that. And yesterday it started, and it's like, you know, weekly your mileage goes up, and then eventually it kind of winds down, and then it's race day. And it was just like, I haven't gotten sick in months, like maybe all winter, and I, you know, got the flu shot and everything. And there have been times where like everyone in the home is sick but me. It's like, oh.
Oh man.
So this time, yeah, it's me. And yesterday was the first day of training, and I've kind of got a plan figured out for like what every day that isn't running is, or if it's like under 3 miles, like how to close my rings, like I'm on the Apple Watch. And so yesterday was a rest day or a cross train day. And then some days are like 2 miles. And so I've got to figure out something for the, you know, another few minutes to close my rings. And then, some days are just rest days. And so on just rest days, I figure I'll walk my dog, Apollo, like briskly, and that will be like, you know, it's good for him, good for me, but it's not a workout per se. And on cross training days, when you've got an option, then I'll choose to do Peloton and like the bike stuff, because it's not too intensive, and it's definitely like more less intensive than like running outside, for me at least. Yesterday, as the first day of training, it was like, okay, I can rest, as in give Apollo a brisk walk, or Peloton, and I chose neither because I was really under the weather. And I did this thing on the watch that I think is pretty cool. I guess it's part of other, but it's the mind and body workout. And
Yeah,
and it kind of gives you the credit of a brisk walk in terms of calories, because, you know, you don't it is how it works. And the idea is like, it's like meditation in some form. And it counts every minute that you log as exercise. And I was like halfway to my move goal and had no exercise for the day, because I'm like, I was under the weather. And like, I just like, you know, just gave myself like half an hour to not do anything and just like focus on recovery and like feeling better. And that closed the rings. And I'm like, you know, that would be cheating if it was like a year of that to make some achievement, but on a serious sick day, like, totally fine.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that's a really nice middle ground of there not being an official option, but then having that balance for like when you really are sick.
Exactly. And today is actually like on the schedule 2 miles, which is, I think, that's the lowest amount on the schedule for training. And you know, I'm not going to fake a 2 mile run, so I'll go out. I'll go out and do that. And sometimes it, you know, when you run, you know, your whole like nasal system gets put through its motions, and so maybe I'll feel better when I get back. So that'll be sometime today. So the suds, that's where we are.
We just got back from this ski trip. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later if we have time. But it was kind of funny because a year ago we went this group of friends, and or I should just say another family, and the day they got in for the ski trip, our friend got sick, and then everyone else got sick afterwards.
Oh, no.
So it's kind of this running joke that, like, are we ever going to be able to do a ski trip now without getting sick?
Yeah.
And So last week, they have a nine-month-old. And the nine-month-old, I forget what it's called. I think it's called, like, RSV or something. And so they had to put their nine-month-old on antibiotics, like, 2 days before we left. But then, like, everyone else, like, was able to stay healthy. And we got through the ski trip. We had a great time. And then we got back on Sunday night, and my son got sick.
Oh, no.
So he's got the suds now, too. So now, yeah, it's going now I'm trying to stay healthy while he's sick.
Yeah. And you had a little bit after you went to CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Ooh. For 9 to 5 Mac this year. And that's, like, notorious for if you go and clean, you come back sick.
Yeah, oh, my. I even got a flu shot. And I came back and was it 5 days after, 6 days after? I thought it was just like a head cold to start, but then I got a pretty bad fever. And my wife was like, you should probably go in. And I was like, oh, I'll go in if, you know, it doesn't get better here. And then finally, I was kind of getting better. But then on Saturday, I was like, okay, I'll go in. We're a few days before this trip, you know, after CES to Colorado to go skiing with friends. And I went in and the doctor's like, yeah, you just had the flu. I was like, okay, that lines up. That matches up with CES. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. If you follow like a lot of reporters on Twitter, then you just see everyone that went to CES spreading it around.
Right. Yeah. Right. I know. I actually like made a point to like not try and give much attention to everyone talking about the CES flu. But yeah, it nabbed me.
It'll do it. It's kind of funny with the Apple Watch too. Whenever you get sick and you've got like a fever, you know, you feel terrible. But if you monitor your heart rate with like a complication on the watch face, or just like check it, you know, in the health app on the iPhone,
yeah,
you can see your heart rate just spike. Like you're not doing anything, but your body is just like in pain.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. And actually, it made me Google stuff because like I'm pretty aware of my heart rate. I think like you, like I'm usually in the lower range for resting heart rate, like usually mid 50s or something. I think you're even lower than that with all your running, right?
Sometimes, yeah. Often in the 40s. Right now, in the 50s.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, like, I think when you're used to that resting heart rate, and then you're sick, and I could just kind of tell my body, you know, was running at a faster heart rate, I think, with the fever and everything. And I looked at my Apple Watch, and I was like, oh, whoa, I'm like 85, 90 resting heart rate. And then I, of course, started Googling stuff, and which can be a rabbit hole. But
that's true.
I got out of it quick, but I realized that, yeah, it's like, okay, your body's doing what it's supposed to do. But it was a little bit alarming.
It's kind of neat to see that. Yeah, kind of neat to see that, make that connection with the Apple Watch. It's just like data that's in front of you.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's talk a little bit about let's talk a little bit about your overall experience and history with the Apple Watch. So, like, what's the first Apple Watch that you used, and maybe like the next one from that?
Yeah, so I was right on board with the original Apple Watch, so Series Zero or the very first gen, and I actually kind of went for it. I went for the stainless steel model with the leather loop, which I really loved. And also a sport band is how I started out. And yeah, I mean, I think like everyone, you know, there were a lot of things that I was excited about, Apple Watch improving over time. Kind of just the laggy experience and some of those things. But overall, I think I was just really fascinated with, just how it kind of made fitness more fun for me, how it kind of turned it into more of a game. I just kind of felt empowered with it when I first got it. No, and I still do. But I just kind of thinking back, remembering how fun just kind of that gamification of the rings. And actually at the time I was working at Apple, so that there was just a lot of camaraderie around, closing rings. And that actually, yeah, back in those days, you know, that was before there was activity sharing.
Yeah.
And so there was almost like a in-person activity sharing, you know, where people were just kind of asking each other, okay, like, what do your rings look like? Or like, how are you doing so far today? Or,
oh, yeah,
it was like this morning.
Like sharing screenshots and stuff of what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I was just kind of on board right from the get go, with Apple Watch. And actually I held on to that Series Zero Apple Watch, all the way until, Apple Watch Series 4.
Nice.
So I kind of, I don't know, looking back, I don't know, it's kind of fun to stretch it out, but at the same time, my, you know, battery life was getting, you know, worse and worse, and, you know, performance was, you know, slowing down too.
Yeah.
But by the, I guess on the same token, then the upgrade to Series 4, was that 2018? Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're 2020 now. Yeah, so that upgrade to Series 4 was like this huge jump for me, like, you know, performance and battery and just all those features. And so that was a really fun jump.
I think that upgrade path is, you know, and I know our colleague Michael Stieber did the same thing where he had the first generation Apple Watch and then
that's right.
He in the same situation where he had the stainless steel with the Milanese Loop in his case, and you know, like he used that until the Series 4 came out, and then just like you, it was like, you know, a big upgrade because it's the first redesign and so much is different about it. You get all the features of the Series 2 and 3 and the speed boost is just massive. So yeah, I think that's like a reasonable thing to do unless you're like reviewing every year or something. But if you're just like a user, then that's a pretty good path.
Yeah. And that screen change was really fun going from the original to, or any of them before the Series 4. But it kind of felt like that big upgrade to that visual upgrade.
Yeah.
Going to that screen.
I can't imagine because I've done every watch every year, like to review them and just like know them very well. And even then, I'm still impressed with what, you know, can be done after just 1 year. And to go, you know, jump three generations like that, it's got to be something. So that's really cool. Before the Apple Watch, like I'm not sure, but I think that your history of just like fitness and exercise and everything probably predates the Apple Watch. And so is that true? And if so, how does the Apple Watch kind of affect that part of your life?
I've always been pretty active. In high school, I played soccer, did a lot of skiing. As I could growing up in the Midwest, played some golf, in college. I kind of got, or end of high school and in college, I kind of got in a little bit of lifting weights and then actually in college, I got into cycling. I've always kind of enjoyed using technology to kind of further the health and fitness, journey. And so, yeah, I've been using like iPhone and just different apps over the years. I'm trying to think of, I think I got started with Strava before Apple Watch.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember when that came into play. I think that was, around kind of a side rant, but I guess it's related. My wife and I, we have one son and we're a one car family.
Uh-huh.
And back in 2010, I was teaching music actually, and I would ride my bike to work. And we were just like a couple miles away. So I'd just do a couple mile bike ride to work. And that's when I kind of, after college, I got even a little bit more into cycling and just having fun with that. So yeah, I think it was when I started using Strava, the app, to kind of track rides and have fun connecting with friends and other people, on the health and fitness journey.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm trying to think what else I would have used pre-Apple Watch for health and fitness. I think some of the early stuff or earlier stuff for me would have been like, I remember spending, I think it was like a couple $100 on a cat eye bike computer.
Oh, nice.
That would, you know, track, of course, your speed and everything, but also had the extra sensor on the crank arm or the pedals, to measure cadence and stuff. And, I remember having fun with that. Like, you know, you have like two buttons on the back of some of those old ones. This was like 10 years ago. And like, you'd have to like press the buttons in like funny patterns to try and like set things and reset things and get it all set up. But I remember having fun with that, with one of my earlier bikes. But yeah, I think that thread's always been there for me is just using technology to kind of enhance and move my health and fitness journey forward.
Right. Cause for me, it was like, I remember running the mile in high school and or maybe like junior high or middle school. And it was like part of gym class. everyone had to do it. And some people were great at it, and some people were okay at it. And then some people were like me, and it was required. And the only goal was to finish before the next class started. And it was like probably like a 30-minute mile of just like walking, you know, and like it was supposed to be running. But it just seemed like, you know, making me like walk, you know, across the state, you know, or something. It was just a mammoth thing. And
you're just doing the best you can.
Yeah, and just hating it the whole way, and like that, you know. And I wasn't like out of shape as a kid. Like I was, you know, fit as a kid. But like, you know, and then like life catches up with you. But just think about it then, and then now it's like, you know, man, it's so different. But for me, the watch was like discovering, using it for several months, and then wanting to get more out of it, and looking at the workout app and being like, oh, there's different exercises in here. I had some experience with elliptical, because before the watch was even rumored, Mark Gurman, our former colleague now at Bloomberg, was going to the gym and doing elliptical, and he would like send me pictures of what his time was and like how many calories the machine showed that he burned and everything. And that I would never do more than like 30 minutes, and I thought 30 minutes was just like the best I could do, and I would do like 12-minute sessions and then come back to it. And for that reason, I was familiar with elliptical, and like we were kind of just sharing like pictures back and forth of like our elliptical workout. And then like I stopped doing that, and you know, a long time went by. Then I got the Apple Watch. At some point, I bought an elliptical used from someone selling theirs, and it just took up space in my house. And it was like, one day in March, I was like, I'm going to start using the elliptical every day, and like just to use the workout app on the watch and see what that's like, because it was the first generation watch, and, you know, just really trying to like get a feel for what the watch can do and everything. And so it took off, like it stuck with me. It was like, oh, now I'm closing rings. And now there's like, you know, like trying to do this a second time, it's a little bit trickier, because I know what the end result can be, and I know it isn't like a let's see what happens thing. It's like, do it. But initially, it was just like totally experiencing everything for the first time. With like, I've done elliptical before, and it didn't stick. Like, it required, you know, my friend Mark doing something similar to kind of motivate me. But then with the watch, it's like, oh, there's this whole coaching system involved and like motivational aspect to it, where it like unlocked a new part of my life that I didn't really know about before. So it's cool to hear about how, like, if you've already got that part of your life as like a lifestyle thing, then how the watch integrates there versus like the whole discovery part. And, you know, like, because you could say, well, the watch can't do enough for what I do, and ignore it, or it sticks with you, and it kind of, you know, enhances what you're doing.
Yeah, kind of becomes part of your life. And I don't know, you kind of create momentum and habits around some things that can really stick. And closing rings has kind of become just something I look forward to every day.
Yeah, it's just a cool experience. Like, and they do such a good job with like the visuals and the animations. And when you get that like spinning firecracker effect, it's so neat. Like, it's such a good payoff. All right, I want to talk about a few more things with you specifically. So first off is something that I've referenced on the Watch Time podcast before with my second guest, Jacob Nye, in episode 2, which is that, Michael, you have ran a full marathon, something I haven't done yet. And when I say that I've done half marathons without intentional planning, you've done a full marathon with like the bare minimum planning possible.
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience and how the Apple Watch was a part of it.
Yeah. So I should say, you know, up front that I didn't run the entire thing. So I got to be honest about that. But I did complete the marathon. Mm-hmm. So kind of what happened was my wife and I were going to visit family. And we got out there on a Saturday night about 8 o'clock, and we were having dinner with friends, and my friend said, hey, I can't believe this, but my training partner that I've been training with for this marathon, my first marathon, just got injured last night. Actually, he went in for a massage. His training partner went in for a massage for like the first time. Uh-huh. No, chiropractor. He went into a chiropractor and something happened and his like whole neck locked up and he couldn't even turn his neck.
Oh no.
And so my friend's training partner, he's like a super veteran runner, a lot of marathon runs, a lot of ultra marathon type things, like 50 milers and everything. So he's such a great coach for him and such a great help in training. So he was kind of devastated when he found out that he wasn't going to be able to run with him. And so he kind of just looked at me and like, I didn't expect this at all, but my friend Cole looked at me and just said, hey, do you want to run the marathon? We have the bib already paid for. And I just kind of like laughed at first. I wasn't even sure what to say. And I kind of thought he was kidding. I didn't know to take it seriously or not. But he's like, no, really? Like, do you want to do a marathon with me tomorrow? Like, I don't know if I can do this alone. And I was just like, and all of a sudden I was just like, just kind of had this idea in my head. I was like, you know what? Like, if I had to like prep and plan for a marathon, I might like overthink it and I might like convince myself not to do it. Or I might, you know, just spend a lot of time coming up with reasons why like it might be too hard. And all of a sudden I thought like, what if I run a marathon tomorrow? And I just kind of like built up some fun ideas around that thought. And I think the one thing that gave me a little more confidence maybe than I might have had in previous years, I'd been doing, and still working on it now, but I'd been doing this program called Gymnastic Bodies. Uh-huh. And it's developed by this a former U.S. Olympic coach named Coach Summer, Christopher Summer. And it's really body weight training, but one thing I really love about it is every strength training or strength exercise has like really robust mobility training. So right. Stretching and focused on that. And so I was kind of thinking, okay, I know I don't have like the endurance that like almost any other person that's going to run this marathon will have, but I think I have like good flexibility, mobility to the point where like my body can probably deal with it, even though like I'm gonna have to like probably push hard to like get through the endurance part.
Yeah, it wasn't like a couch to marathon overnight situation. You had some like on the side experience with preparing your body for something at least.
Yeah. Yep. I was pretty confident. Yeah. Like my hamstrings were pretty flexible and like able to handle it, and my legs were strong enough. At least, I mean, yeah, not on the endurance side, but at least I thought I had like some pretty good strength there. So yeah, you're totally right. It wasn't like a total couch to marathon. Like just get up and do it. That I think that could be probably dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I kind of looked at my wife and I was like, should I do it? And she's like, at first I think she was pretty hesitant, and then she's like, I mean, yeah, why don't you go for it? And and she's kind of like, I can't believe you're doing it, but why don't you do it? So yeah, like that night it was funny. Luckily I had my running shoes, but I didn't even really have, you know, appropriate socks. So like I went out with my father-in-law that night to get like some socks and some other gear. And then I realized that I didn't really have like all the music I wanted on my Apple Watch, and I just like wanted to get prepped, and like, you know, this all started at like 8 o'clock at night. So like before, and like we had to get up at, I think it was like 3:30 a.m. To drive over there, and then, you know, kind of be ready early morning, as I know you're familiar with. So like I'm absolutely, like sitting there, I'm like after flying out from the Midwest to California, I'm like up at 11 o'clock at night, like loading music to Apple Watch and like trying to get everything all set. And yeah, it was like a lot of fun.
And that's that's like a time zone change, right? So like 11 o'clock at night is like what, like 2 a.m. at home or something?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, it felt like super late to me as I'm trying to like get all my gear ready and make sure like my AirPods are ready. And I was using like before AirPods Pro. And so I was using like the little silicone like wingtip things on the AirPods, yeah, to like keep them in your ear and everything. So yeah, that was a lot of fun preparing. I, you know, one thing I didn't have at the time too that looking back I wish I would have was like a separate Bluetooth heart rate monitor.
Sure.
That would have extended like my Apple Watch. Because yeah, I got into the race and as you can imagine, a Series 0 Apple Watch, I didn't make it through the whole race right on that battery.
Right.
So I think I was actually looking at the the data, and it looks like I got 20. I think I actually did carry my phone.
Right. That's good.
In addition to watch, so it wasn't, I think I was doing music from, I started with music directly from watch to my AirPods. Then I realized, that wasn't going to be a good idea.
Right.
So I switched to music for phone and then tried to keep tracking the run as far as I could with Apple Watch. But it looks like I got like 21 miles recorded.
That's pretty good though, for the first generation watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And I'm trying to remember. I think Strava might have captured the rest of it. But I remember it was really fun. I think so. That was 2017 when I did that marathon, and it was fun, really fun, just seeing all the. That was spring 2017. So I think that would have been, I guess, just about 6 months, 7 months after AirPods came out, and it was kind of fun just seeing. Everybody with Apple Watch, everybody that had AirPods. Of course, there's a lot of people who don't use those either. You know, they're using in that year they were using like more Garmins and different devices like that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of fun seeing it start to like proliferate and seeing people adopting kind of the fully wireless setup and Apple Watch.
Every year when I go do a race, and it's the half marathon that I do every year. I do a few now, but the one that I've done every year consistently is like. The first year, the watch was pretty new, and AirPods were definitely pretty new. And then you didn't see those. And if you did, people saw their phones with them on their arms and everything, and like wired headphones from that, or like other Bluetooth headphones. And the second year, it's like a lot more AirPods, a lot more watch. And like this year, AirPods Pro were a thing. And Powerbeats Pro, and so you saw some of those, but if they didn't have those, they had AirPods, like the first generation, second generation AirPods. And it's like it's funny seeing how, you know, kind of there's like a year lag.
It kind of filters down.
That's right. But it certainly spread, like, and you just see more and more Apple Watches out there, and it's even if someone brings their phone, which I think is okay to do, especially on a distance like that. Like I like to bring my watch and like test the battery life in different scenarios. But
love that you do that. It's really fun to see how that all turns out.
Yeah, but when it comes to the full marathon that I plan to do one at the end of this year for the first time, and I will train for that. And I think I'll bring my phone for that. You know, just to not push the limits. Exactly. Yeah. So
like after all this. Build up. You don't want to like risk not having the data from your full marathon.
That's right, because it's really it's like the coolest keepsake you can have. Like looking back at all the data and everything.
Is so fun. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that marathon, I made it just past half, just past like 13.1 miles running, which I was pretty excited about. You know, kind of going from not really running a lot. You know, I was doing cycling and some of that gymnastic bodies training, but I was excited to do like a little over 13 miles at a consistent pace. I forget. I think we were like maybe a little over a 10-minute pace. So that felt pretty cool. And then the second half, my friend and I pretty much power walked, which is kind of funny. Like before we started the race, I was like, hey, you know, like if you need to power walk, like he was totally cool with that. Like and that was good for him. And, cause it was his first marathon, and I was like, power walking will be easy, you know? But then it's kind of funny, like after you run 13 miles, then like all of a sudden power walking is like this whole different animal. And it feels like this, like, you know, big uphill challenge. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. I've been like, even in like a 5K or a 10K race, I've been beaten by people who mix running and power walking together. And it's like, I'm going to catch up with them in this like, you know, little stretch right here. But then they catch up with me and everything, and then they beat me by like a few minutes. It's like, maybe
it is amazing what people can do with the power walking.
That's right. And the only thing for me is like, it's definitely harder to pick. I think it's got to be a balance, but it can be that if you stop and just like not power walk, but just like walk slowly, then starting your system up again and running again can feel like a lot harder.
Yes.
So it's really got to be a brisk walk for you to not let go of that momentum. But like literally like stopping and standing, like if I'm stopping to get water, I just keep moving, even if I go up a lot slower and then I pick back up. But if you stop and just like stand there for a moment and like catch your breath and everything, it's like starting over from scratch, except you're way more exhausted than the beginning. So
there's definitely a balance to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I found it on Strava. You know, that was smart. I ran Strava separate for my Apple Watch.
Uh-huh.
And I did get all the data. So it looks like, I ended up with, I just missed getting under 6 hours, on that marathon with the kind of the half run and the half power walk.
That's right.
6 hours, 28 seconds and, a 13:11 mile pace.
Yeah. Not bad for an overnight. Does it show you your half marathon time?
You know what? I don't see that.
Yeah. That would be curious.
It does have some segments. Interesting. Yeah. It looks like the first few segments were between like 10-minute pace and 11-minute run pace.
Uh-huh.
And then it slowed down to like closer to 13. Yeah. And a little bit over 13, some of the paces for some of the stretches.
Yeah. So when you're doing a full marathon, I've not done one yet, but I imagine that it's in the back of your mind that you can't go all out right now because you've got to have double that, you know, when you get halfway.
It is the mental game is interesting. And I think not that this is like a groundbreaking thought or statement, but I think one of the there were, you know, of course, different people with like little signs and posters like encourage runners. I think the one that just like helped me the most was just this simple one that just said the body achieves what the mind believes. And so I just like kept repeating like throughout the especially throughout like the second half when I was like just kind of trying to like push through this power walking. I just kind of kept repeating that to myself. I was like, I'm going to complete this thing. I'm like, I'm going to finish this race.
That's
like,
right.
I don't have to run the entire thing, but I'm going to finish this. And that was just really fun.
For me, it's the Waffle House at the end of the course that motivates me.
I love it. I love it. It's like the reward.
I've just burned, a few thousand calories. I'm going to go have a nice brunch.
Yes. Yeah. We ended up doing, after this marathon, we ended up going over to In-N-Out and just going to town.
Yeah, I have two of everything.
Yeah, right. I was just looking at the calories, too, from that day from Apple Watch tracking. And I think I probably had a little bit more since it died early. But it said I had 4,111 calories burnt on my move goal. Oh, and actually, that was active. So it's showing, total for that day was 5,438.
That's awesome. So yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's so cool. Well, have you thought about, you've successfully finished a marathon run. Have you thought about training for something, whether it's a 5K, 10K, half marathon, or the full marathon, sort of intentionally and with the Apple Watch to see what can happen?
I haven't thought about it a lot since then. I think I'd be interested in it. I'd probably scale back to at least to do like half marathon probably.
Yeah.
I think, in winter here, so I'm in Indiana, and in winter here, I'm like less likely to go out and work on running. And I usually lean towards something like Peloton over like treadmill, like bike Peloton that is over a treadmill. So I think in warmer months, I might be interested in working towards that. Actually, you know what? A friend and I have talked about is, maybe starting with some small, triathlons. And,
Cool. Yeah.
My one weakness there actually would probably be swimming. I would have some work to do. Is it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of have some interest in it and maybe doing some triathlons. I think for me, I really admire you and like, cause a lot of the races you'll do on your own. Yeah. You'll train and do on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And like for me, sometimes it's easier for me if I could do it with someone else.
Yeah.
But, I really admire that obviously like you're excited and you have momentum around it and it's fun for you that like, it feels good to even do it alone. Like, you don't even need someone else to do it.
Yeah. When you show up and there's all the different types of people there doing the same thing as you, like, even if you don't speak to everybody, it just feels like you're all doing the same thing. And it's like this, like, shared energy between everybody. And that's like, you know, no matter what I've trained, like, race day is just something totally different, where it's like just a mega boost because there's so much positive energy and just like excitement about what you're about to do together. You know, even if you break up into packs and everything.
A great thought.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? Hmm? Well, as soon as you said that, it made me think about sometimes when you go into something new, it can be easy for me, or I don't want to speak for you or anyone else, but I think maybe there's this tendency for me that, like, it can be easy to think about, like, the unknowns or the concerns rather than, like, I love what you're talking about, like, focusing on the community and the energy and, like, and just like, hey, like, look what we're all going to accomplish. Look what we're all going to do together.
Yeah. And there's some cool things that you can do. Like, for example, I found a lot of success with following other, like, just searching Instagram for people who run, like, you know, searching hashtags like running or run. And, you know, and you can find people with a lot of followers. And so they've got motivation to share more of their experience. Cause, like, that's like their thing on Instagram or other social media. It's like, I'm 10 different things, but on Instagram, like, I share my running life. And then you find, like, who they interact with, and you can build all this whole community of people that motivate you. And I've totally, like, stopped what I'm doing and gone out for a run because of something someone else has shared that's motivated me. And I have done a few runs where, my pal Jacob Knight has trained with me, you know, for several weeks, just like running sporadically, or, more recently, my wife has gotten into running, and so Kelsey will come out and run. And there's even sometimes where, like, she does a run by herself because I'm watching the kids, you know, and that's always fun too. And just, like, really motivational to see her do it on her own. And for this April 19th half marathon at Disney World, we're both going to that. And so, and with the calendar that we've put together, like, I made a shared calendar with iCloud, and it's like, it's the race calendar, and it's got every day. And I thought, I was like, you don't have to stick to it. Like, most people with a training plan, I think it's very common to not hit every single day exactly. But as long as, like, your overall goal is to hit most of it, then that's cool. And I'm like, no pressure here. Like, this is our calendar, and you can use it however you want to. You know, but, like, and so we're kind of in this together too. And that definitely helps to have a partner. But even then, like, when you start going out and running, I kind of prefer to do it solo. And so we have to have, we have a communication where it's like, you know, if we split up, it's totally okay. You know, and same thing for me and Jacob. It's like, you know, he'll always be like, you're going to smoke me. I'm like, probably not. Like, you know, I'm going to be doing what you're doing because that's one of these days. It's like, you know, and then if you do find that, for, you know, say the first 5 miles, you're kind of in it together, like, you can kind of push each other, you know. And if you need, need to go faster, like, the last half marathon I did, or the next to the last one, was with Jacob and Kelsey. And so at different points in time, I ran with Kelsey, then I ran with Jacob, and then they were both behind me. And I had ran that course before. It was over at the NASA Stennis Space Center. And, and I had ran it the year before, and I think actually, like, that was the second time. And the first time I did it, I hit a wall at like 10 miles. And this time I saw Jacob do that, and I was just like, I can keep going. Like, I can do another 10 miles if I wanted to today. And it was motivational. It's kind of twisted, I guess, but, like, to see him have that experience that I had a year ago and be like, okay, that's a point of, like, checking in, and I've been there, and I'm not there today, so I know I can just keep going today. It, you know, when you know people and conditions and everything, it can give you some things to think about and, like, motivational points, but there's always people out there with you, and so you can, you know, pick someone that you want to kind of trail or you know, compete with, even if you don't communicate with them that, you know, so
yeah, it can be fun. Yeah, I love that. Those are great thoughts.
Yep.
I was just thinking, even just skiing this last week, it was just fun just to, I went with my wife, Margaret, and two of our friends. So there was kind of camaraderie built in, but there are times where we split up, And then you're on maybe a ski lift with somebody, you know, brand new, and like you have this opportunity to kind of connect with them and like see what they're excited about, whether it's, you know, just skiing or maybe just like other things in life. And, I love those thoughts, Zach, on like, yeah,
thinking awesome. About
just, yeah, the community of people that are like out there just enjoying nature, enjoying health and exercise, enjoying movement. And yeah, like,
What's the Apple Watch experience like with skiing? Like, what are you tracking? You know, like with running, you're kind of looking at your heart rate and your pace and your overall distance and everything. What are you looking at with skiing? Because I'm totally unfamiliar.
Yeah. So I'm using Slopes is the app I'm using to track. And it works right with Apple Watch and the health app and activity and everything. And it gives you some really fun data. So, our biggest day of skiing, or our longest day of skiing, I should say, well, I guess biggest too. So it records how many runs you did. It records like your vertical descent. So like how many feet are you skiing, down, gives you your total time and distance, calories. Another really fun one, you kind of have to be like, careful with it. So you're not like skiing, dangerously, but it gives you your speed, your top speed.
Yeah.
So we were out at Steamboat, and two of the days we actually got to ski on weekdays, which is really fun because it's not so busy. And on Friday, I got 28 runs in. We ended up doing 17,311 vertical feet descent. That was over 5.5 hours. We traveled 18.5 miles. It's saying I did about 905 calories burnt. That day I went top speed of 44.9 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So it's fun. Let's see the tallest run it gives you. So we did, kind of depending on, you know, which, where the lifts go and everything, even though like the mountain might be say like 3000 to 3500, foot vertical, like your longest run might not be that long, but our longest run that day was 2,332 feet. We did make it up to the peak of the mountain, which was really fun.
Uh-huh.
At Steamboat, you can only get so far in the lift, so then you do have to do a little bit of hiking with your skis and everything to get to the peak, and that was at 10,528 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the longest run was 2.7 miles. So, you can kind of have a fun, like, long cruise, if you make it up to the top of the mountain and kind of ski down as far as you can.
That is so cool. And Slopes is the app that everyone recommends for skiing, like you're using. That's really cool. And, it's one of those, like, top class apps with the Apple Watch where it's made with care and it's reliable and great. So that's really cool.
It is. Yeah. Great interface, great features. And of course you get really neat map, readouts too. So you can like, look back, and see, you know, kind of exactly where you went and kind of learn the mountain more. And, it's just a really great app.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where, I don't know if you have a GoPro, but like, oh my gosh, just wearing one during the whole day would be so cool to see the footage later.
You know what? I've actually like, it's kind of strange, but I've never gotten a GoPro, but, it would be a lot of fun to do. Cause like, yeah, there's just like a lot of neat, picturesque moments, when you're on the mountain.
Yeah.
I really enjoy tracking, the data with all sorts of activity with Apple Watch, but it is really fun with skiing to just kind of see all that rich data and it's kind of fun, like, comparing it with friends, like, one of the friends I skied with, Luke, we were both looking at, you know, top speed at the end of the day. And, I had said out loud, like, I think this was Saturday. I was a little bit lower top speed. It was like 41.3 miles an hour top speed. And, he hadn't looked in a couple hours, but he's like, oh, okay. I think I got you by like 0.2 miles an hour. He's like, I think I got like 41.5. and then he like opened up the app and he's like, no, 41.1. You got me by 0.2. But just, you know, kind of some fun.
Yeah.
It's fun looking at data and just like, remembering our day. And
it's such a neat way to like relive the moment. Yeah. Even without video footage, like, you know, I can totally do that. Look at the breakdowns of like miles ran and just think about how I felt, like what I was listening to at the time. And like, you know,
yes,
it's really neat.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And then briefly, let's talk about Peloton, because we're both Peloton bike riders. And this is like the at-home stationary bike with a massive screen and like live or on-demand classes, like spin classes, basically. And I got into it because my wife Kelsey was into it, and I quickly adopted it as like a cross-training routine, and then bought a nice outdoor bike to like complement it with.
Yeah.
And it's just been really fun. I reviewed the treadmill, which is very expensive, so I had to go back. It was like a loaner, but I totally want one. And it was like the best treadmill I've ever used. And the classes were really fun. And so for you, what's the Peloton bike experience like, and use it with the Apple Watch?
Yeah, I do. First of all, thanks for your big recommendation. Margaret, my wife had brought up the idea of getting a Peloton maybe like a little over a year ago or more. Uh-huh. And so it's kind of on the back burner, something we were thinking about, but, wasn't like a top priority. But then, yeah, you had just like shared like how much you guys were loving it. And I mean, yeah, not even just you, but just your whole family, between not just the bike, but just all the extra classes you get with the stretching and the yoga and the strength.
My 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old daughter, she's loves the yoga stuff on the iPad. And now they have apps for like Fire TV, and they do AirPlay really well too. And then my son is like 2.5, so he's not quite there yet, but they know what exercise is now, and they want to be involved.
Isn't it so fun to be able to like share that love of movement and exercise with the kids, and like just see how it just becomes something that they just really enjoy, and like they look forward to it, and like even if they're like, my son's a little over 3, even if they're not like actually doing, you know, what the movement really is, you know, like the activity really is, like they're part of it as in their minds, they're as much a part of it as we are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Rory has, you know, he's 2.5 or so. He has a Fisher Price stationary bike with like a little tablet holder. Cool. And so he can put the iPad on there, and they've got games for like Fisher Price games where you ride the bike and it moves like your race car or, you know.
Oh, no way.
And it was like, and we put Peloton stickers on it and everything. And it's like, and my daughter loves that too. Like, you know, she does both, but it's fun to kind of have everybody involved.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think a big part of it for us is there's just like such a convenience to having the Peloton available, especially like in colder weather here in the Midwest. But honestly, we're having so much fun with it. I think even as warm weather comes around this spring, that we're going to be spending a lot of time riding. But yeah, my wife is just really loving it. I think for me, I really enjoy kind of that little bit of competition with, you know, being able to see everyone who's ridden a ride. Yeah. So if you're like, if you don't know Peloton, you have on-demand classes that you can ride at any point. And then you also have live classes. But for any of those, you get to see all the people who are riding, and actually like kind of like I was talking about there for a moment, that when you can see everyone who's ever ridden a ride, like sometimes there can be like tens of thousands of people, that have done a certain ride, and you get to see like your output, compared to theirs. And that's just been really fun for me. Not that I feel like I have to, you know, achieve a certain level, but it's always kind of fun in my head. I'm always kind of thinking like, can I be like at least top third, or, you know, maybe top 20% of this ride? And that kind of helps me. But there's also, you know, low impact rides. There's all these different types of rides that I really enjoy that, you know, if you're feeling like, hey, I just need a more relaxing ride today, I want to close my rings and get some movement, but I'm not looking to like really push it today. There's like so many different ride types, so many different instructors, that you can absolutely find somebody that like really motivates you and speaks to you. I don't know. Everything just feels so well done. And I actually, you know what, I guess circling back to kind of the conversation we had a little bit ago about the community around something like a marathon or movement or a lot of these activities, I think there's like a really neat community at Peloton.
Yeah.
That is just inspiring and makes you excited to be a part of it. And, I think, yeah, it's just fun to show up and be there. Even if it's an on-demand ride and it's not live, I think there's a strong connection between, the instructor and, or there's a potential for a strong connection between you and the instructor and what you're showing up to do. And, I think even more surprised with how much we've appreciated and valued Peloton after getting it. We've had ours for about a month, so still relatively new for us. But we're just, yeah, absolutely loving it.
Yeah, we're probably 6 months in, and it's kind of been fun with like as our friends try Peloton too. Then, you know, like for example, if you're in a live class, I can see that you're writing, and I can join in with you. Or if we're writing together, we can look at the leaderboard and just compete with each other. You know, and just so much as like, for me, competition is like just trying to push myself a little bit further. Like, our colleague Chance is in now, and you know, we can a few times we scheduled like rides together, and that's really fun. And even if it's like an on-demand class, if you ride together, then you're kind of, you can compete with everyone that's done it before or people who are there live now. And it's really cool stuff. I even found that when I did the treadmill review, and this is true for anyone with Peloton Digital, like you don't have to have a machine to do this. You can do the guided run, classes where you do an outdoor run. You have to bring your iPhone, but then obviously you can log from the watch too for the workout for activity bringing credit. But it's like audio guided runs, and I thought they'd be like super generic and like, maybe just like the audio from one of the video classes, but they're not. They're meant to be audio only, and they're like custom made for that, and they're really good. You know, so it's that's a neat way to get into running if you haven't before. Or any number of other exercises like yoga or strength training, and some of the bike rides where it mixes in cycling with like arm weights. It's so cool, and it makes me feel like, you know, just at home without even going to the gym. There's a unique workout that I can do that isn't, you know, repetitive. So I've had a blast, and it's just really cool with getting more and more friends connected every Peloton.
It is, yeah. That's another thing. I didn't think about this aspect as much, but my wife did. She loves going to like in-person fitness classes. And I guess, well, this just ties back into that kind of community piece. But, and so, you know, she's done a variety of different things at home, with either Apple TV or, you know, iPad and apps and things, but she hasn't quite felt that same, that's kind of that same feeling of like going to a class in person.
Yeah.
And I think for her, Peloton is like the closest thing to that. Like, she gets that same feeling of like actually going someplace to a class and like that community piece. That's been really cool for her. That's great. You bring up like, honestly, we haven't explored probably even like, there's so much to Peloton. I think it can be easy when, before we got it, I didn't realize how much there was to it. It can be easy to think it's just, you know, the bike rides, but yeah, there's a lot of depth there. And, yeah, there's so much opportunity for great exercise and movement.
Yeah. If you use the Apple Watch and you're looking for new ways to close your activity rings this year, for example, then check out Peloton Digital and do the free trial and see if it's for you. And then I think it's like maybe like $12 a month or so, something like that. And even if you don't have the bike or the treadmill, you can take your iPhone or iPad to the gym and like use their equipment. Or if you have something else at home, or just like the strength training classes, they call it like boot camp, or the stretching classes or outdoor run classes. There's really like it's worth the membership alone for that, because I've definitely on days where I wasn't trying to do a streak, but I was trying to get an exercise in, where the live class was like a few minutes away. So it just like kicked me into high gear of, I want to be involved in that live class. So let me like, you know, suit up right now and jump in. Yeah. And there's like momentum in it being happening like right now. And if you miss that window, then you might not be as motivated. So I mean, my big takeaway from this conversation is that there are lots of ways to close your rings if that's a goal of yours, whether it's, you know, a creative way to manage a sick day, or, you know, learning to use exercise equipment, or doing something on your own, you know, and like how you use the family ski trip to, you know, get more data out of it and kind of relive it. It's there's so many ways that you can use the Apple Watch to enhance what you're doing, or just like retroactively go back and look at what you did and just get the data from it and really appreciate what you've done.
Yeah, I love that. I think even though I've been really active overall for probably the last 15 years or so, they're just like anyone probably, I've had, you know, kind of slumps where, you know, it feels more challenging to do a workout, or it feels, you know, I kind of have resistance around, I just kind of want to sit on the couch or whatever the feeling might be. Or I mean, you know, maybe it's getting sick and then feeling like you're kind of out of the rhythm of it for a little while. But kind of this theme I've come back to is like, there's like no one workout I have to do, but like the goal is like to move and have fun.
Yeah.
That's good. And so I love what you're saying about that. Like, there's just so many ways if you want to, like, you know, close rings with Apple Watch and do that. I think for me, like my the biggest thing that's helped me is just like having fun with it, like not looking at it as a chore, not looking at it as like a, like one more thing I have to like add on to my day, but like looking at it as like, hey, maybe what if I just turn on, what is it on Apple Watch? The workout app, it's not Play, but it's like something like Play.
Yeah.
But I'll turn that one on. I'm kind of swiping through to see if I can find it while I'm talking. When I go to the playground with my son, I'll just like turn that on and like, you know, kind of keep an eye on my heart rate and track that activity when we're playing at the playground. Now there's a climbing one. Yeah, I'm forgetting which one it is. It's like something like Play.
Right. I know you're talking about. I've done that same thing at the park with the kids. It's like, let's, because the whole thing of like logging a workout, the difference and logging one and not logging one is like you get, the built-in heart rate monitor only checks in every few minutes just to preserve battery life over time.
Okay.
But if you log a workout, it checks in like every few seconds and it's like actively, it's like, you know, the green light is on, it's checking your heart rate. And so if you go to the park and you don't log something, it's okay, but you're not going to get as much credit for the movement as you would if you logged a workout. And so it is neat to turn on like the playing outside or whatever it's called.
I just found it is Play. It's just Play. Yeah, cool. I love it. It's like somebody on a monkey bar or something, you know?
Exactly. And that's, I see it there too, Play. And that's what it is. It's like you're moving more than if you were not, you know, and you want to, and the whole thing is you want to fire up the heart monitor and get the most accuracy of like, you know, your movement, as possible. And then end up when you're done and you can look at it and like say, wow, this like playing with my kids at the park, you know, this is what that was. This is the value of that in terms of, you know, activity, not just, you know, the experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's so cool. So Michael Podick, you can be found on 9to5Mac. Many, many stories each day are written by you. And that's so awesome. And also I want to promote you on Instagram. And because your Instagram account is just filled with cool experiences of just like moving. And like you mentioned before, some of the, like gymnastics oriented stuff is just really impressive. So what's your Instagram account?
Yeah. Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm a little different. I'm, MICH likes to move. Mitch likes to move on Instagram. On Twitter, I'm just at Michael Potuck. And then, you can kind of check out, I've done a few different posts too. I think like last winter I did a post kind of looking at slopes, tracking, skiing or snowboarding with Apple Watch, and I've dabbled in a few different
we'll have those linked in the show notes so that if there's something Apple Watch oriented, we can have people go and check those out. That's really cool.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Zach. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure. And I will say, we'll be back in 2 weeks. That's our schedule. And I believe our next guest will be a developer behind an Apple Watch app that is coming out this week. So stay tuned for that.
Very nice.
Yep. And we'll be back then. Bye, everybody.
Take care.